Hey everybody, it's Mark Patterson. I'm back again with another great episode of Finding Your Summit. I'm really fired up to have today's guest, Chris Peterson, on. We'll get to him in just a minute. I have a new website that's just being launched, www.markpattisonnfl.com. You can come and you can see me there. I've got a new book that is coming out called Finding Your Summit, which is obviously the same name of the show, but it falls in accounts my trip up Mount Everest, the seven summits, playing the NFL, being in the Hall of Fame under my head coach Don James from the past, and all these other trials and tribulations I've gone through to get me to where I am today. Also, there's a free giveaway book called What's Your Everest there, which is how to accomplish different things. Just sign in your email and we'll send it to you. I'm also doing keynotes out there and other things like that. So, on that note, let's jump into today's guest. Chris, how are you doing?
Doing wonderful. Life is good.
Life should be good for you, right? I mean, it's all coming up roses. It has for a long time, and I want to get into that. So, I really want to stay focused around this whole leadership thing. And before I get into that and your whole built for life, as I just mentioned before we went live here, you and my past careers in terms of the way we approach life in a very positive way, but with a lot of discipline built around it, I'm going to get into it. I'm going to challenge you on a couple different things, are so similar, and I love it. And to me, I've always thought about things as success leaves clues. And you probably would agree with the same thing from the mentors that you've been around as you made your way up. And just a couple things. So, for people who don't know Chris was most recently at the University of Washington, coaching. You had just an unbelievable run. It was great, for me as a former player, back in the Don James era, to see a guy that really embraced that culture up there and brought to the table what really needed to be, which wouldn't had hadn't been there for a long time. You have this unbelievable run. I'm in Sun Valley, Idaho, so we get a lot of the content, sports updates, everything else, the Boise State stuff, coming in here. And so I see that. And so I saw you back, but you've got a 790% winning percentage over time. You've been a two-time coach of the year. You won two titles where the UW. You've just had all these, unbelievable runs, but they didn't happen by chance or by luck, right? They happened because you really set the tone in a certain kind of way. So let's go back and let's just talk about what your whole theme is all about, which is called Built for Life. What is that all about?
Yeah, built for life. It started when I first became the head coach of Boise State. I didn't really necessarily want to be the head coach of Boise State. I just wanted to keep being the offensive coordinator at Boise State. And our head coach, Dan Hawkins, at the time decided to go to Colorado. And this kind of forced me to make a decision. Do I go with him and be the offensive coordinator, or do I stay put and become the head coach at Boise State? And I really thought I was going to go with him and be the offensive coordinator because I liked what I was doing. I felt like I had more meat on the bone. I could get better. I was kind of in a really good groove that I thought I was improving. When it came time to make a decision, I had no excitement at all about going to Colorado to do that same job for whatever reason. It was kind of in my heart. I was like, why is this? And when I thought about staying at Boise State, it was the exact opposite. I mean, I had all kinds of, energy and juice, but it was really negative energy and juice. Like it was like overwhelming. It's like, I'm not really prepared for this job. I haven't been thinking about this job. And so I knew that. I knew it was going to be such a huge learning curve to be this head coach. Anyway, so I decided to stay, take the job, and all I really wanted to do still was just coach football. I wanted to go in the film room, figure out how to score touchdowns, get first downs, and probably about 6 months into being in this job before we'd actually got to our first season, with our day-to-day interactions with our coaches, our players, everything was going on. It's like, listen, I need to really figure out who we are and who we want to be and where we're going. We had a really good culture at Boise State. Dan Hawkins did a great job with that. And I really kind of could feel like if you're not super intentional about your leadership process, what you're trying to do in the program, this thing's going to slide and you're going to be all about nothing. I could feel that right away. And so I'm like, I got with our coaches and I'm like, we really need to put something together and down on paper and figure out like where we're going. And these are going to be our train tracks. So we're going to have success here. I really felt like the place was set up. We were having success. It was set up for success. And so I wanted these train tracks. So when we had more success, we didn't get full of ourselves and get off track. And when we had some dips, which we're all going to have in this journey, we're not grasping for straws. So we know who we are. And so that was the first step right there of like trying to figure out like who we want to be, who we are, the things we stand for, our purpose, the values, the principles. And so that was a couple month process with our staff. And we put something together that we felt great about. And we kind of used those, like I said, as our train tracks. And then the whole Built for Life thing started with our players. And it really started, I almost say it almost started kind of in the gutter, like where it started with like at the very bottom rung of where we were trying to be. So it kind of started on like almost rules. Like I think about rules and standards completely different. Standards are when we're living at our best. This is what we're aspiring to be. And we're not that all the time, but that's the parameters that we really want when we are going to accomplish great things. It's about standards. Rules are almost when we're living at our lowest. You got to have rules, but I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about rules. Like we need to define them and say, hey, listen, this is a no-go right here. And so that's how this whole thing started. Thinking about, okay, we're not going to do this. But then, over time, we started to, and it was really important to me how we were going to conduct business as a team, how our players were going to show up every day, how, what kind of teammates they were going to be, how they were going to be in the classroom, how they were going to be in the community. And so I started bringing things to these guys just about like, inspiring things and inspiring people and life lessons and all these type of things. And over time, I could really tell that these kids were about this stuff. I would always interview our team every year, twice a year, actually, in the spring and then right after our season. And I would give our seniors a questionnaire. It was 20 questions. It was a two-sided piece of paper. And the first question was, if you were to describe our program to somebody from the outside, how would you describe this that doesn't know what's going on in here? And I would always think that they're going to put down, we're one of the best football programs in the country. We're so underrated. We know how to play with anybody. Like, and it was never that. That first question was never over the years about football. It was always about being built for life. It was always about, repurposing this platform that we have and using the demands of this job and our sport to become better people. Like they were saying these things back to us. And I'm thinking, they're really getting this. This thing is more than just winning games. And so when I started getting that feedback that they were getting this and they were into that, then we doubled down on just basic that. Like, how do we do this thing to build ourselves, use this really demanding platform that are just life lessons of, of discipline and, teamwork and hard work and all those type of things. And we can, no matter how the football turns out, these are going to be things that we can use down the road. And I knew like a lot of the guys would not totally get that message and what we were doing at the time. I think half of them did. The other half would get it a handful of years later and they'd come back and say, we're talking about the same stuff at our job that we were doing at Boise State or at Washington. And so those were always really motivating things for us as coaches to double down on this whole, building these kids. We were just trying to like, it's just like character strengths, teamwork, those type of things, to really be at our best day in and day out.
Yeah, no, I love it. There's a lot of things that you said in there. I want to unpack a couple of them. So, I think just at the tip of the iceberg, one of the things I've found, I've been running Sports Illustrated the last 10 years. I took it from number 17 to number one, right? And you don't just do that through magic. It's preparation meets opportunity, and there's a little luck in there, but also, relates back to hard work and putting in the effort and having the discipline to do those different types of things. One of the things I'd always say, and you more or less have said this, is that when you start seeing success, to me, what does it breed? It breeds complacency, because now we start saying how great we are, and as you know, especially in college football, it's always resetting. There's new players, there's the other team is getting new players. You guys have to get bigger, stronger. You have to set new goals. So that's one. Number two is, in terms of leadership, I think it's really, 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 really important. And I saw this at Sports Illustrated, where the leadership, and the reason why it was floating around had been bought and sold, 3 times in 5 years, and on different football teams that don't succeed, it's not communicating from the top going down, and especially going from bottom going back up. Those players want the discipline, and they want to be told what to do, and they need sometimes to be led on how to get there. And a lot of those principles just aren't taught back, right? They're not communicated. I'm only going to talk to my offensive coordinator or my defense coordinator, but I'm not going to permeate down to the other assistant, the strength coach, right? The academic advisor, everybody. So everybody is paddling in the same direction. And that's what I see in leadership today that were the big misses that people just don't get. The other thing I was going to say, last thing I was going to say around this is that one of the things that Don James taught me, and I've kind of built my own model around it, it's called SUMMITS, SUMMITS. It's an acronym for accomplishing things. And with Don James, at the very tip of the John Wooden pyramid of success, which I'm sure you've seen, you've read, you've mimicked, but is that competitive greatness, right? And that when you set those different disciplines around this is how you achieve, I've got the magic formula, but you got to get buy-in. At the end of the day, it's got to be about competitive greatness, which is the very top rung. For us, we went to multiple Rose Bowls, the Orange Bowl, and all these other bowls, and we achieved a heck of a lot. But in order to get there, you got to have everybody loving the process, and hard things are hard. And that's the thing that if the hard things were easy, then everybody would do it. Losing weight, exercising, having a better diet, whatever it might be. And getting up early, and paying attention, following the rules that you were talking about, although you don't want to hang out too much in the rules, but if they don't follow some kind of structure, you're never going to achieve the types of things that you want to achieve. And so the cool thing, I want to get your comment about this, the cool thing what you said is that you basically had this guinea pig test group at all times, these 100+ players that every year you're getting feedback, actually twice a year you're getting feedback on what they were looking for. And it sounds like what you did is you evolved that system almost to perfection. So by the time you actually came to the University of Washington, you hit the ground running. Obviously, I think you won 2 titles when you're up there. You're in the college playoff when there was only 4 teams, so not one of it, but you were in it, which is a huge accomplishment, and things that the University of Washington had only done a couple times before. I was part of one of them. But it's just amazing what can be done when you really understand, you shape, and then you communicate and articulate that to everybody else so they can have buy-in.
Yeah, it's interesting. I get to spend a lot of times. I don't coach players anymore, but I work with coaches. And so I go to different places and I go to some businesses and do some different things with those. And it's really apparent to me that when you speak about competition, it's always about our opponent. That's how we kind of grow up in sports, beating the guy across from us. And the thing that's probably hit me the most from since stepping away from coaching and going and just having a different perspective and looking at this from a 30,000 foot view is that the opponent is not on the outside. The enemy is usually within the buildings. It's lack of alignment. That's the number one issue that I see at all these places. Going to your point, it's like it's about creating this alignment on the things that we're really all about. It's about embracing our roles and having an impact in these roles. And so it's those type of things. And before we even start talking about all this competition, we got to take care of ourselves. And to use your words, we're all rowing in the same direction. And our egos get involved with things. And it's not about the greater good, it's about more self-interest. And so if we can kind of get a couple of those things right that are so critical to, high-performing teams, we have a chance. And until we do that, we shouldn't even be talking about the competition. It is about first and foremost ourselves, like me individually. And then it's about me and my teammates being the best we can be together before we even talk about the other people. Like that's almost irrelevant. Are we performing at our best to do this competitive greatness thing that you were speaking about? And so it's really interesting when I go to multiple places and can see the forest amongst the trees, where sometimes when you're in the day-to-day fight, you can't see what's really going on. And it's so apparent. It's like you guys are working against each other way more than you're working with each other.
No, that's really interesting. When I, again, let's go back to, I went to Roosevelt High School. You don't know that, but a mile or two away from the University of Washington, right? So I was very lucky in terms of I didn't go too far. I kind of grew up in that Lawrence area, so my whole circle was about 8 miles, when you put it all together. And back in the day, it was also the culture, but I didn't have to work hard. I just was naturally gifted. I was just one of those kids, and so I just showed up, and that was that. And I was better than everybody. And then when I got to the University of Washington, I was in for a rude awakening, man. I was 185 pounds. I couldn't bench my weight, and everybody else out there, Don James had been to the Rose Bowl now with Warren Moon and some of that group, and I was just completely outclassed. And so again, I think so. What's the point? The point is about that comparison thing that you were just talking about. And what I had to learn pretty quickly is that I couldn't compare myself to all these other players that were developed, had been in the program, that were, throwing up 300 pounds. I could run a 4.5, 4.4, those types of things. I had to put myself in the best position possible in order to ever see. And it took me 3 years, right? And so that then fell into, I bought into the system, number one. And then number two, I had to have the faith that someday I would get a shot. But I couldn't get a shot if I didn't, put in the most effort you could possibly put in, and don't worry about anybody else besides what my ultimate ceiling could possibly be. And again, exactly what you're just saying. Too often there's these conflicting, forces going on, within organizations, which like, well, why is he getting the raise? And did, why don't you just focus on yourself? If you had more skill sets, or you were better at what you did, or you put more effort, or you're the first guy in at the office. There is a direct correlation, Chris. Like all these things I've been able to do over time, there's a direct correlation really to I'm the first guy that shows up and usually the last guy to leave. And I've never seen ever in an example, maybe through somebody who wins a lotto or something, but the last guy that shows up, the first guy to leave early and puts in the least amount of work ends up being the most successful person. It just, the formula doesn't work like that, right? There's another podcast that you were on that it was really interesting that I was listening to, and you were talking about kind of the paradox of leadership, and essentially what you were talking about. And I want to get into more about what this actually means. Is one thing is about you're saying to have effective leadership and to be kind of the best version of yourself, you also have to be about others, but at the same time, you have to be about yourself. So what does all that mean?
So that paradox of leadership, when if people ask me, like, what's your most important rule or your best thought on leadership? It's such a complicated and interesting topic. We could talk for months and still like have more to talk about. It's so fascinating to me. But I think this paradox of leadership principle kind of really does a great job of boiling things down. And the paradox of leadership says there's really only two rules in leadership. And rule number one, it's about others. It's about service and sacrifice for others. It's about aligning and uniting others. It's about inspiring and empowering others. It's about you earning influence with these people so you can help unlock their potential. It is about them. That's rule number one. Paradoxically, rule number two says leadership is really just about you. It's about you having self-awareness. It's about you having self-discipline. It's about you being about self-improvement. So when I think about those things, self-awareness, it's about knowing yourself. When I think about self-discipline, it's about controlling yourself. When I think about improving yourself, it's like growing yourself. We're constantly evolving to this next thing. So you can unlock your potential to give your gifts away to others. And you know, that's the best thing. Yes, it's about others. And I think one of the mistakes, I think it took me a long time to figure this out, that in the leadership world, we have this tendency to always think about getting them right, getting our players right, getting our employees right, getting our coaches right. Like, why won't they just do what I'm telling them to do? Like, I know what they need to do to make this thing go. Why won't, so it's about us, like, just if you would just get yourself right, we'd be fine. And over many, many years, I really feel like that's putting the cart before the horse. The first person that we need to get right is ourself. And that is really hard to do. Like, you know, the one thing that we want is our people to show up every day with their best energy. That's what I think this is about. So energy being like work, do you to put the work in. Attention, your focus, your vibe, the enthusiasm. Like if you could get your people to show up with their best energy every day, you'd accomplish unbelievable things, championships, you know, whatever your goals are at work, financially, all those type of things. So that's the mission. And we're just thinking, how do we get our people to show up with their best energy, do their best work? But half the time, we're not showing up with our best energy to do our best work. I think about all the times that I would show up that I'm like, you know, you're having those days or you're not. And the leadership arena can squeeze you and narrow you. And the demands of the job, if you don't have a plan to keep yourself at your best, you're not going to be at your best. And so I think about this thing and this leadership. If there's, you know, talk about Wooden's pyramid, I like when I think about leadership, like I think it's, you know, it's about yourself, it's about leading individuals, and then it's about leading the group. And we usually flip that pyramid where we're thinking of, okay, I got to get this group going and get these guys all aligned, and I got to bring out the best in these people. And that's true. And then it's like, okay, now I got to establish and build trust individually with these relationships. And that's true. And then lastly, and sometimes we don't even think about, well, how am I performing as a leader? Am I the model of what this should look like and bringing my best every day? I can emphatically answer no. I didn't spend nearly enough time building my best self. And I'm telling you, in this coaching world with 365, you know, 24/7, 365, pressure, problem after problem, situation, decision after decision, you can get worn down very quickly and not only become your best self, but you're heading towards your worst self. And so that's probably the biggest thing that I've learned at the end of my career. And what I try to do now with people is like, forget about these other people. Forget about, like, let's talk about you. Let's talk about getting your mind, your body, and your soul right. And what is the process to build these skills in yourself? And that's what I really think before we start talking about what they need to do. It's what do I need to do and how do I, and usually like leaders, like the job is so demanding. I don't have time for this. Like I don't have time, you know, to like how do we stay optimistic and grateful and present and all those type of things, and have this energy that I'm bringing every day. I mean, with all this, because usually as the leader, like you have all kinds of problems and negativity coming your way. And after a while, it's like, holy smokes. And so I think if you don't really have a plan to build yourself, you're heading in the wrong direction.
Like again, I agree with so many things that you're talking about here. One of the things that's really helped me achieve, I'll go just like into the seven summits, right? So the seven summits are seven highest mountains around the world. The last one I did was Mount Everest. And you really have to have your eye on the ultimate prize in order to do those day-to-day things to then show up and try to become the best version as you're building and building and building. And, in my case, building your mindset, your skill set. And then I can turn around, I can help others when they're in peril. And there's a lot of guys that were in peril when I was climbing in unbelievably, intense situations, right? My tent mate from Antarctica in 2019 died up on top of Mount Everest and I stepped over him. So it wasn't, there's just a lot of real life stuff there going on. But I agree with you. It's kind of like when the pilot's saying, hey, if we run into issues, the first thing when these oxygen masks pop down, you got to put the thing on yourself first and then you can go help others. It's a lot of the same thing. And again, we're talking about an airplane in a completely different situation, but in something that is a little bit more stretched out and over a season or over somebody's career, however you want to look at it, it's just like, what is the ultimate goal here? And then taking those things day by day by day. And like you said, showing up with positive energy. Everybody's going to have, I call this thing in my summits model, which is kind of the pyramid of success. My version of the T is for diverse. Diverse is when bad things happen, right? And on a football team, there could be a devastating loss. You've been through them, I've been through them, and they're not fun. And then how do you regroup and come back with a positive mindset? Well, what's the ultimate goal? Where are you trying to be, right? And how can you show up and get better and learn from what you just happened in order to take that next step towards that, to that place that you and everybody else ultimately wants to go. So tell me about one of the big things that I like was teaching is you got to stay away from negative voices, right? Positive voices will lift you up, negative voices will drag you down. And if you have people around you that are negative weight on your back, you need to shed. When you had devastating losses, there's other things and life happens to you, it's not just about football. But how have you been able to maintain a positive mindset and teach that to your players and the other people around you?
Yeah, I think you alluded to it. It's about the process, right? I mean, to me, the whole learning, growing, failing, setbacks needs to be completely retaught from a very young age. And especially in the arena that we've been in, where it's such a results-oriented business that no one really cares at the end of the day about anything other than scoreboard. And that's how we're raised, and that's how these kids are, and so when we don't win a game, it can be so devastating. We failed. And so if we can, use that as, it's either we win or we learn. And I just and really, when we're winning, it's still there's a lot of clues, like you were saying, like what do we still learn here? But when we, I just really wanted that. When we lost, I mean, it's like a gut punch, and it takes a minute to catch your breath. But then it's like, okay, so what are we learning about ourselves? Where are we? And I always felt like after every single game, win or lose, we were a different team. Some we get on a streak and we're getting more confident and we're believing more, but are we getting more arrogant and entitled? Like, where are we with that? And then we lose. Are we losing confidence? Are we losing belief in how we do things? And so I think the good coaches really, again, meet their players and their team where they are. And in some ways, it's almost you act the opposite of your team when they're feeling really good about themselves. It's like you got to drag them back to like, focus on this. This is where we need to go to take the next step. And when we're struggling, it's like, no, we're okay. We're on the right process. We get these things fixed. We're going to be right back in business. And so I just think, it comes back to your standards and what are the things you and the principles you want to lean into. And one of the things that I think is super important is that we embrace hard things. Like nobody, like on the surface, likes hard things. It's like, oh gosh, here's another problem, or here I got to solve this, or I got to go do this thing, or like, why does this keep happening? And it's very easy to get into that mode, especially as a leader. It's like, have we not figured this out before? I remember when I first became the head coach, probably 6 months in, I was like, I don't know if I can do this because I can't even get my work done. Like everybody's like knocking on my door that has a problem. And I was telling one of my, was not a coach, but he was a mentor, a really good friend of mine, a successful business guy. And I'm like, I can't even do my stuff. Like it's everybody else coming with their problems. He goes, let me tell you something. The number one job that you have as a leader of this program is to help solve problems. That's why they're coming to you. And it was so obvious and common sense, but I hadn't thought about it like that. And it was like, okay, I better not do this job, get out of this thing, unless I want to help others solve their problems. And I think that's a big part of leadership. But it also switched my mindset of like, listen, all the things that we're most proud of, the most proud things you're proud of in your life, Mark, are things that have been really hard that we've worked through. Usually the things that we really want in life are on the other side of hard. And we are wired for comfort and we love our comfort zone and we really don't want to push ourselves on all those things. But in some ways, that's almost a paradox as well. Because we are more pleased and proud and feel better about ourselves when we work through hard things. Just think about all the things in your life that you're probably most proud of, whether it's, marriage or being a dad or, things at work or whatever it is. None of that's easy. And when you work through these hard things and get like cool results, that's what this thing is all about. So I really think about it's about embracing hard things, like and training that mindset from the very, very start.
I tell you one thing that you'll agree with. I don't know, and I say this to people all the time, like, why is it so hard? This is where we're having this pod right now in January, right? Early January. And so it's traditional that a lot of people start making New Year's resolutions. What am I going to do this year to make my life so much better, going forward? And one of the easiest things is like, I'm going to work out more, right? And every single time, there has not been one moment in my entire life, and I've been doing this a long time consistently, probably like you. And there's never been a time where I've got off my Peloton bike or I've done lifting weights or I used to, run the stadium at the UW, do all that stuff, right? Where I go, I wish I hadn't done that. I mean, it's a simple example, but it's so obvious that every single time, like, because your brain is telling you not to do something, you'd rather go eat a piece of chocolate, right? For that immediate gratification. And then afterwards, you have all this guilt. And versus the working out, you don't want to go do, but then you do it and you feel great, and like, oh, I can't believe I didn't want to do that. And off you go. And that's just such a simple example of mindset and where, again, what is the ultimate goal? And knowing that to do that, you have to take these baby steps to get to that massive thing that you want to do someday, better your life, be happier, whatever it might be.
Amen. 100%. Great
Amen.
example.
I know. So let me ask you this. We only got a couple minutes left. Really quickly, are you happy with your decision to step away? You're at the top of your game from the University of Washington. I know you probably still get offers today to come back in the arena if you wanted to do so. But did you just need the break? Do you want to come back? Do you miss it? Or where you're at today with the University of Washington, doing a lot of leadership type stuff, are you happy doing that?
Yeah, I really am. When I stepped away, I didn't know if I was getting out of coaching forever, but I just know over the last 14 years of being a head coach, I was sliding backwards. It's some of the stuff we've been talking about of not building your best self. And I just knew, like, I didn't know why. I didn't know why this was happening. And so the only thing after, a lot of thinking about this is I needed to step away to get clarity. And are the things that I miss about coaching? Yeah, I mean, every job. I mean, that's such a, I mean, it's in your DNA, it's in your blood. My dad was a coach. I've been around this thing forever. So yes, there's things that I miss about it. But I also know what the cost is to get in to back into coaching. And to me, the cost is your entire life. And I, at this point in my life, just don't want to live my life that narrow anymore because it's a 365, job, 24/7, 365, and certainly college football and the craziness going on there. But I get a lot of satisfaction. I've kind of redirected and I help coaches on some of the stuff that we're talking about here, on the things I always feel like this. I mean, the best lessons that I've learned in life have been the things that I probably, failed at and didn't do well. I always say this, there's only really two reasons people change is one out of inspiration or desperation. And I really think it's probably more out of desperation is when we change. I think it's a, sometimes it's so interesting too. We're always trying to change everybody else, but yet the hardest person in the world to change is ourself. And so it's all these things that I've learned through my journey that if I was to step back into it, that I would do different in terms of building myself. And yeah, there's some different things I would do in terms of leading people, individuals, and groups. But the whole focus would be on getting myself right because I don't think enough people spend time doing that. And it's almost hypocritical as a coach because we are so focused on helping others improve, but yet we're not wanting to change and we're not wanting to hear it from others how we can be better. And so that's some of the stuff that I'm doing now that I really feel like there's purpose involved there. I think that's what it's, I think what this thing's all about, a formula for a good life. So Morgan Housel, the author that wrote The Psychology of Money and a bunch of other things he's wrote, he came out with an essay a year or so ago that said just that, the formula for a good life, purpose plus independence. And it stopped me in my tracks. I didn't even need to read the whole rest of the essay. I'm like, I get this. Because when I was coaching, I felt like I had very good purpose with the Built for Life stuff, the things we were trying to do with the kids outside of winning games. But I didn't have any sort of independence. It was just all in on this job. Fast forward to where I am now, I got more independence than I know what to do with. I control my time, but I have to work to find purpose more so than I did just showing up at that job. And so it's always about a balance.
Love the balance. Hey, we're gonna get shut off here in a minute. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to fly over here to Sun Valley. We need to better ourselves. So on that note, we're gonna end it that way. But thank you so much for coming on, Chris. You're a good guy. You're one of the guys that's really made a difference in life for a lot of guys. And I love the conversation, everything that you have going on. So I so appreciate you coming on Finding Your Summit podcast.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Appreciate it.